listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm writer, filmmaker, and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, actress, filmmaker, and e-reader. This episode, we're talking about horror comics for Halloween with writer Ben Blacker, author of the new comic Hexwives.
Who's actually right here.
Hey, Ben.
Hi.
How's it going?
We have very, very rare, exciting in-studio author episode today.
Yeah, we don't always have one. It's nice to have people in the studio.
Well,
we
showed up and I was here.
I apologize. Yeah. Waiting for us.
I love the show.
He climbed in the window. It was really
strange. Holding a candle. We're like, it's Halloween appropriate, so we're cool.
Yeah, he just drifted through the wall. He actually might be a ghost. What are you reading, Bria?
I am reading an author we're interviewing for a show, upcoming show, a book called A Blade So Black by L.L. McKinney.
I am so excited to read this.
It's a great book. It's kind of a retelling of Alice in Wonderland with Buffy the Vampire Slayer bent. Like, instead of falling into that rabbit hole,
she punched her fucking way into it.
She punched and shoved her way into that rabbit hole. So it's like more, literally, she like chooses to go through the looking glass and fight nightmare monsters. They call it the veil. She chooses to go through the veil. But
cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Look for our interview with her. She was very funny. She talked about video games and all sorts of cool stuff in her interview.
Oh my God, did she talk about that cool Alice in Wonderland video game that every single goth girl ever played?
Is it recent?
No, it was like in the early 2000s, and it was like Alice in Wonderland, but with a knife.
And who did she stab?
Like various things.
The White Rabbit?
I don't remember that rabbit?
Is that rabbit's name White Rabbit? What is that rabbit's name?
My name is Rabbit.
White Rabbit? It sounds like I'm saying a character from something else.
You mean Dwight Rabbit?
Dwight Rabbit. I mean the Velveteen Rabbit. That's who I'm thinking of.
Too many rabbit characters.
Anyway, that rabbit. Anyway, it's a fantastic book. It's a lot of cool world building right at the beginning. And so it's like, it was stuff that I really liked diving into. But it's also just a super fun read. Anybody, accessible to anybody, I say definitely pick it up. What are you reading, Mallory?
So I'm reading a book called The Burning of Bridget Cleary by Angela Burke. And so I read this book because when I went to Ireland, I was reading only scary Irish books. I just got back from Ireland. And I read The Good People by Hannah Kent that Bria suggested to me. And basically, The Good People is a story all about, it's like in early 20th century Ireland, and this woman is taking care of this kid who's paraplegic, but she's convinced that he's a changeling and is trying to cure him of that.
And it's like a small Irish village situation. Yeah.
Yes, and it's very spooky. But at the end of the book, I was reading the acknowledgments and I found out that it was based on a real case in Ireland. And I bought this book. And so The Burning of Bridget Cleary is a nonfiction book and it's a real story that happened. It was basically this guy, his wife got sick and wasn't doing well, and he was convinced that it was no longer his wife, that it was a changeling, and he burned her alive. But he was like, it's cool, guys, that's not my actual wife. My actual wife is going to be coming back to me on a white horse very soon. And everyone was like, ooh, buddy, hey. So it's this whole big case. So it's a really cool book. It's like going into like the interesting time in Ireland where like the Catholic Church was taking over. So but all this, or like a lot of Ireland was illiterate and rural, and these oral traditions and these superstitions were still underlying all of this order that the Catholic Church and the British government tried to impose. And then also goes into a lot of Irish folklore. So it's like, it's a really good read if you want to read something for Halloween, but don't want to read a horror book and you just want to read something kind of spooky.
Yeah.
Trigger warning for setting your wife on fire.
Okay.
But I'm
specific, but people probably have.
I am really enjoying it. It's very, like, very dense. It is very thorough, but it's really good. I like it. Ben, what are you reading?
Have you read, before I tell you what I'm reading, and your timing couldn't be better because I just finished two books and just started two books. Have you read this book? Have you read any Victor Lavalle?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Yes.
Okay. Have you read The Changeling?
Yes.
I just read that this summer.
So good.
It sounds like that, you know, it's obviously that myth, but love the way he writes. And I thought the book was okay, but I loved the way he writes, and I like the world he evoked in that book.
His book, The Ballad of Black Tom, is definitely worth reading, too.
And it's getting adapted, which is very exciting.
Is it? So the changeling thing is so scary to me because it's a child, and I understand because kids are kind of weird. So it's like, I understand how it could be confusing, especially if you're, like, sleep-deprived, and you're like, maybe this is not my baby anymore. I kind of, like, understand the changeling phenomenon.
I wonder if that could happen with my cats.
Okay.
I would freak out.
You're like, this is not the
this
cat.
This is my, not my Lula.
This is actually a goblin baby
know?
Cat.
I would know. I would know.
I wish someone would change out my dogs. Changeling
my
those
dog
animals.
Smells slightly better than it normally does. My dog.
The dream. I just finished a book that is a biography of Alfred Hitchcock by Peter Aykroyd. I'm all horror all the time these days because of Hexwives and because of a couple of other projects I'm working on. So I'm just movies, TV, books, or comics are all horror all
and
the time.
It is October, so it is the time.
Yeah, exactly. But this was a great biography. It was kind of on my list anyway, and I had agreed to do a podcast where they said, can you talk about Alfred Hitchcock for an hour? And I was like, sure. And I was like, oh, I got to read this now. but it's sort of... I really like the way that Aykroyd writes. I would now pick up any of his journalistic endeavors. But I like that it wasn't a sort of birth to death, in-depth, you know, it didn't get bogged down in the minutiae of a life. It was really about, like, he was born here, this was what he was like as a child, and it's how it informed his films. But really, here it is kind of film to film and what it says about him as a person, in as much as we can guess, because he was a very private person.
Oh, interesting.
That's really cool.
It's really good. That's enjoyed it.
That sounds awesome. So we're going to take a moment to read some listener feedback. This week, we got some really cool emails about our book rhymes episode.
We didn't do a book rhymes episode.
Well, it was like the marketing your books episode.
And we talked about how the people put book rhymes in it. They write book rhymes for themselves.
Yes, but some people actually wrote me some book rhymes.
Oh, yeah, because you were like, I want some book rhymes.
And people responded. I'm really stoked about it. You're all amazing. So here's two of them. So Alex wrote in, here's a book rhyme for the inside of Mallory's books. It isn't about her dying, but I hope you still enjoy it. Blood flows and bones are ground to dust. The fate of those that break my trust. Heed this warning and think carefully before you steal from the library of Mallory.
Oh, that's perfect for you.
And do it.
That's very good.
And then PK wrote, Mallory O'Mara loves her books. This volume counts among them. If it should go unduly claimed, know she vows this solemn. When at last she quits this world and all of its dependents, ethereal she'll rip your bones from living flesh and vengeance. Into it.
That is amazing.
Sonali wrote in to tell us about their favorite reading snack, which is roasted salted almonds with pepper jack cheese. I want this to be a thing.
People write in with their reading snacks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. That's very good. That's really specific. Is Sonali wrapping the almonds in
I was wondering,
cheese?
Was it like, you know, is when you're trying to get a dog to eat a pill and you stuff it in the cheese?
Or it's like pigs in a blanket, but with cheese. I feel like there's a moment where people were putting bacon around dates at parties.
Sure.
You feel like
that's
this
still
is
happening.
A thing. That's still happening.
It's definitely a thing because I go to parties and I'm like, ooh, dates. Oh, no, bacon.
I don't need bacon.
I'm 85 years old to go, ooh, dates. Delicious.
Let's be real though. Dates are delicious. Dates are so good.
You can do worse than a date.
They're sugar, but good for you.
You
had a date today?
Just today, an oatmeal date cookie. That
delicious.
Was excellent.
So good.
I won't go back to raisins.
No, why would you?
Why stop?
Were the dates like cut up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well,
listen to my date cast.
Subscribe now.
To date cast.
So you can always email us with your very specific book snacks at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. So before we talk about scary comics, we're going to take a quick break.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And together we're the hosts of Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. What does that mean for you, the podcast consumer? Well, it means that you're going to get a lot of stories about how we used to do weird stuff to people in order to try to fix them.
Do you know that we used to think diseases were caused by bad smells? And that we used to eat mummies for medicine?
That's super funny. I kind of like it.
Well, thanks, and we hope you'll kind of like our show, Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. It's available every Friday wherever fine podcasts are sold, or at its beautiful, picturesque home at
MaximumFun.org.
This week, it's all about horror comics. It's almost Halloween, and lots of folks are looking to read some scary books to get into the season. But a lot of people forget about scary comics. There are so many amazing horror comics out there, and they all deserve the Halloween spotlight. But first, Ben, please tell us all about your new amazing horror comic that is out today, I think.
It's out tomorrow.
If you're listening to this episode tomorrow, so you could pre-order it right now.
Let me make this easy. It's out on Halloween.
Yeah, great.
Whatever time
Whenever
it is.
You're listening to this.
People listen to it, this show, the day it comes out.
I know,
or they
I do.
Don't listen to it at all. I'm just kidding, they don't. I look at the downloads.
The new comic is called Hexwives. It is out from DC Vertigo, which is in the midst of a big relaunch. And they're all really good. So I would really, like, yes, go pick up Hexwives, but go pick up all these new Vertigo books. They're awesome. The soft pitch, the Hollywood style pitch, is Hexwives is Bewitched plus the Stepford Wives.
Yes, please. Yeah. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. It's about a coven of witches who is trying to be controlled by a group of men who fear them. So it's
so
a documentary.
Surprising. But through, I've never heard of anything like that happening in real life.
But like throughout, we both read it. But throughout history, right? So it starts like.
Yes.
Salem witch era?
Yeah-ish. Yeah. It's they've been battling these men forever, and at a certain point, the men say, we have to do things differently. When we kill these witches, they just come back. So let's mind control them. Yeah, they will not be stopped. So when we meet the coven, they are these suburban housewives. And it was because I was watching Bewitched and was like, Samantha is this crazy powerful witch who is so worried about getting dinner on the table for her husband and his boss. And, like, her mother would come around and tell her she married beneath her. And Andorra was right.
She really totally did.
Yeah.
Yes. Her husband was just, like, a buffoon. It was like the precursor to the hot lady with buffoon sitcoms we have now. Where you have, oh, the lady who was in the Scientology thing in a situation.
Yes.
She was
King
like,
of Queens.
Yeah, the King of Queens.
Stuff like that.
The lady from Scientology. I'm sorry. You've done so many other things besides that. But she didn't.
I don't know. I feel like.
She escaped Scientology.
Once you dip your toe into Scientology.
Well, she also escaped Scientology. Yeah. That was like a big thing.
Oh, that show is great. She's killing it now.
Yeah, she really is. But like that kind of King of Queens thing. But Bewitched was the precursor to that a little bit.
Yeah, and it was also this thing of like. He was married to this amazing witch. First of all, Elizabeth Montgomery was like one of my first crushes.
Oh, she's
I would
great.
Watch that homesick from school in reruns.
Totally.
But he had this incredible witch wife and would not allow her to use magic.
Like, yeah.
What is happening
We're real
here?
Real controlling.
Yes.
It's like short guys. We don't want their girlfriends to wear heels. They just gotta keep them down.
Totally. So yeah, that was the jumping off point for the book. And it gets very dark and it gets very scary. And there was a lot, like, I feel like everything I've read or watched is in this thing, from, you know, like I said, Bewitched, but there's Get Out in it. And there's,
it's a very timely comic. I was reading this going, yes, it's really like makes you feel not better about all the things that are happening right now, but it's a good channel for your anger.
That is certainly where it's been coming from. It's definitely been cathartic to write these powerful women beating up on these white guys.
It was very cathartic to read.
I'm
there's
glad.
There was a scene at the very beginning where I was just like, oh, yeah. Get it.
Yeah. The artist, Mirka Andolfa, is incredible.
Yeah, it's
like
really
the
good
violence
looking
she draws at the beginning, I sort of had notes, but she just like, I said, do what you want here. And she drew this, like, the ripping the head off of the guy.
Yeah.
Is crazy looking.
So good.
Bewitched, were there any other witch things that you got into when you're preparing to write it?
A few things. All of the characters in the coven are based on pop culture witches. And that's going to sort of slowly come out. But you can tell early on, like, the main character is based on Samantha. And there's a teenage witch based on Sabrina.
Great.
I loved the American Horror Story Coven season.
I did too.
Gabourey Sidibe's character, I love so much. So I base it on her, the look of her.
Yeah, I can
but,
see that.
Do you guys know Lizzo? The singer?
Yes, oh my God.
Who's amazing.
Wait,
so her, it's
this is a witch singer? Or is
she's
no,
not a witch.
She's just like, a singer.
She's the person that should be playing Ursula.
Yes, right?
Wait,
she
so
would
she,
kill it.
She's like just kind of like a goth lady singer.
No, she's not even goth.
No, she's
Guys,
just really.
Who is this?
I just want her to like hex me. Okay.
She has a incredible voice.
Okay.
She is like heir apparent to Aretha. And I follow her on Instagram, and she also has a powerful personality.
Oh, amazing.
And so I've been basing the personality on Lizzo. That's and I'm amazing. Putting that out there, so if they ever make a TV show, just cast her in.
You're making give her a it call. Real easy for you, Hollywood.
Exactly. So in addition, so there was a lot of that pop culture stuff between TV and movies and comics. But I also read, like, on folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great book called No Go the Boogeyman, which is about witches and ogres and other child guzzlers through history and literature.
Child guzzlers.
When I came across
second,
that term.
Second profession. The profession you wish you had had.
So first it's like just book reader and then cat petter and then child guzzler.
Why didn't guzzler. I think to be that?
You should have minored in it. but it's a great sort of, you know, literary what's the word I'm looking for?
Reference book?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's sort of a literary history.
Cool.
And it hits on folk tales and fairy tales and myth and stuff. And it was really interesting.
Yeah, cool.
So, Priya, do you read scary comics?
Mm-hmm. I do, Mallory.
You're like, yep, next question.
Yes, I read a lot of scary stuff. I really liked the Creepy comics, which is kind of old school, but then they rebooted it, and so there's some newer ones, but I do like the Creepy comics series. I'm a big fan of those.
You're like, I literally like Creepy comics.
I like Creepy.
Creepy with a capital
I'm
C,
to say,
baby.
With a capital C. So if you're at home, you can't see that I'm capitalizing the C with my voice.
It's like YMCA in here. It's just a big C for Creepy.
Yeah.
Does the new series capture the feel of those old 40s and 50s ones?
It does. I mean, I like them. Yes. And it still has the, like, there's also a series. What is the TV series?
Tales
it also
from has, the Crypt?
Yes, Tales from the Crypt. And yes, Tales from the Crypt. Yeah, of course. I was just watching some of those recently, and I was oh, this is all kind of the same thing where there's, like, a weird morality to them.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, this person was gambling. Or, like, you know, like, these things where you're, like, they're kind of punishable. It is very throwbacky, the reboot of them. I don't think they're making them now. They made them for a short while, like, maybe, like, 5 years ago, but I don't think they're still doing them. I could be wrong. People are going to be really
mad. A bunch of collections of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of collections, and they're great. They're really fun. I also love some Ben Temple Smith stuff.
Hell yeah.
He did this book called Wormwood Gentleman Corpse.
I love that series.
I think it's so good. I actually have some original art from it in my house.
Why have I not seen that?
Because it's not. I don't think it's hanging up right now, but that's just because I don't have many walls right at this moment.
Yeah, Bria just lives in a floating orb.
Yeah, I live in a. There's just a lot of shelves in my house. I don't know what the deal is. But I love that, and I loved Welcome to Hoxford. He did 30 Days of Night for people who don't like. He drew 30 Days of Night. Stephen Ellis wrote it. But he's done a bunch of stuff that he wrote, which I think is really great. He also did the cover to my comic book series.
Which is We Will Bury You.
Yeah, it's also a scary one. And then other comics I was thinking about. I was a big Hellblazer fan. Loved. Mm. I think I read all of them, and I think I read all the Preachers, which I really enjoyed as well. And I think is scary, but I don't know. I mean, I would classify it as horror, but I don't know if I'd call it scary. Same with Hellblazer.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Like it's like they're like horror in that genre, mm-hmm. but they're not like something where I'm like, ooh, I can't read it at night. I got to put it away. You know, like I can't like
put that comic in the freezer.
It's freaking me out.
Ben, what horror comics do you like?
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Ben has just pulled out his pointer and has pulled down a screen behind him and is ready to tell us all about comics.
Horror is hard in comics. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what helps sell a horror comic is a horrific premise. And that's why I think Lock and Key works really well.
Love that fucking comic.
Yeah, it's so good. And I think Joe Hill is a great writer anyway. His short stories are like some of the best short horror stories.
And they're making a TV show of it. And you just had the writer of that on your show, right?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Check out the writer's panel.
What's the premise of Lock and Key for people who haven't read it, who've been living under a lock and key?
Lucky is one of the most inventive haunted house stories ever. Mm-hmm. It's about this family who has undergone this tragedy. I won't spoil it for you because it like happens right in the first issue of the first trade. But they go to this their like family home, and there's a series of keys, and each key that you use unlocks a door. But something there's all kinds like. I don't want to spoil what because I'm a Mallory. I don't want to spoil what the first key does, but they're very unusual powers and things that happen but it is, and it's like all the members of the family end up, you know, exploring these different keys in this house, and there's this evil presence, and it's very spooky and very imaginative. The art is by Gabriel Rodriguez, and it's incredible. Edited by a friend of the show, Chris Ryle, and it's just so fucking good.
I think the way you describe it, to say like it's an inventive take on a haunted house story, like that's the stuff we respond to, right?
Yes.
Like these tropes are so hoary at this point that we just want to find a new way in.
What is that word, hoary?
Look it up.
Okay.
Like cool.
W-H-O?
Google it.
No, just an H.
Oh, I'd like if it was W-H.
But that's why, like, the other ones that I have on this list, like Baby Teeth is a great take on a devil baby thing. It's about a
teenage...
Everyone
loves a devil baby.
Sure. But that's a hard thing to come up with a new... Like, The Omen is the gold standard, right?
And so Rosemary's Baby.
And Rosemary's Baby. But this is... Yeah, this is closer to The Omen because the baby gets born.
Yeah.
But
gets born in Rosemary's Baby.
That's true. That's the climax of the movie.
Y'all, what would you do if you gave birth to a baby and you knew it was the devil?
I would be really confused because I have an IUD.
Okay. That's a cop out of an answer.
Where does this devil baby come from?
Satan cares about your IUD.
Exactly.
Satan does not care
about
your IUD. That's
a story right there. Oh my God. You get pregnant because Satan's like, I don't care about that IUD.
Like, I'll rip it out with my horns. Ooh, I'm sorry. It's Halloween. It's fine.
For free scare for you guys.
It's a real nature versus nurture question.
Oh, so you think you could raise a Satan and it would be fine?
I know I could.
You
I
could.
Would be so, I would be so into raising a Satan baby. Look at me. I have not one but two demon tattoos.
Yeah, so it would not be fine. You will doom us all.
No, we would get along so well.
You
get along
so well, but then he would take over the world and cause the apocalypse.
No, because he would be my child. So ultimately his desire to read would overtake. And at the very crux of the story would be like, no, I'm going to open this bookstore instead.
Okay, I'm sorry, Ben. What other horror comics do you like?
This hell baby just wrote a treatise. I don't know. Let's not.
Now he's my hell baby.
The other one I would recommend is Animosity, which is not.
Oh, I have not read this one.
Oh, check it out. It's one of the only books I'm current on. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as it comes out, I can't wait to read it. Marguerite Bennett is writing it, and she's written a bunch of great stuff.
Yes.
But I think this is really her best book. It is not a straightforward horror story, but it does have a feel of The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. in that you're in a world where an apocalypse has happened. And the apocalypse that's happened is suddenly, and this precedes the events of the story, all of the animals have consciousness and can talk.
What?
So, yeah, it's about...
Bria just lit up. It's so
it's
deep in Bria's
so
wheelhouse.
Good. It's so dark, but it's so human. The most human character is this dog who wants to take care of the girl who was, you know,
Bria's
going to
leave this
owner.
Podcast and go buy this
right
yes.
comic.
I think there are two or three collections out already. It really is a great book. And there's a spinoff, too, which is great.
And she also wrote an erotic comic,
yes.
Insects.
Which is more straightforward horror.
Yeah, and with amazing art.
Yeah.
And very, very, very good.
She's a great writer. So, yeah, I will check out anything. Like, I tend to follow writers around. And as soon as I hit Animosity, I was like, oh, everything she does, I'm in.
Give it to me.
Do you like horror comics, Mallory?
Surprise, surprise. I love horror comics. I fucking love horror comics. I'm trying to, this one was hard for me because I feel like I've talked about so many on the show. We need to retire My Favorite Thing is Monsters by Emil Ferris, mm-hmm. because we've talked about it so much. I love Chilling Adventures of Sabrina by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, art by Robert Hack, which is, I think by now, so it dropped on October 16th, but is now a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Hmm. One of the writers was our friend Axel Carolyn, so.
Yes, that's right.
Very excited.
And Roberto's running the show, I believe. Like, he wrote the pilot and is running the show. He was doing Riverdale also.
Oh, yeah.
So he moved over to this, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, if you're into Riverdale, buy the comic Chilling Adventures of Sabrina because it's amazing, and then watch the show. I also love Survivor's Club by Lauren Bugis and Dale Halverson, and artist Ryan Kelly. It's really, really cool.
I love Ryan Kelly's stuff. He drew the poster for the movie I directed.
Oh, hey!
Yeah.
And also in the vein of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Afterlife with Archie, which is amazing by same writer, but the amazing art is by Francesco Francavilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful art.
Oh my God, it's so good. And I've talked about on the show Scott Snyder's Witches, his American
Why.
With a Y.
Yeah.
And his American Vampire collection is also amazing. I love Scott Snyder. He's also The Wake. Anything he does, I'm just a huge... Which is funny because I've never read his Batman. Which is,
it's
I know,
pretty great.
I don't like superhero stuff.
Yeah, but Batman's different than normal superhero stuff.
Yeah.
I would argue.
I know. I've
I think Batman
this
is like a
so
different...
Sure, he's a guy.
He's not a superhero. He's just a dude who has a bunch of like cool gadgets.
Yeah, but there's no monsters.
There's yeah, there are.
The monsters are in here.
The Joker is a monster.
Do you get scared by horror comics?
I get a feeling of unease at best.
At best,
that's what horror comics are really good at.
Do you like it?
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
That's why I read them.
On this customer satisfaction survey, how happy are you with your unease?
I'm pretty satisfied with the feeling of unease that I have, because. Right. Horror is so hard in any, like every medium tells you a different way to do horror. And movie obviously is the thing that most people are familiar with. And you get everything. You get jump scares and you get atmosphere. And it can do both equally well. But you can't do jump scares in a comic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like with comics, it's hard because books, you're the engine of that. With comics, you're reading it, but you're also seeing it. So you can't really get a jump scare because it's already there.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I never get scared by horror comics.
The only comic that I actually quit reading because I thought it was too scary was Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, but maybe like book... I got pretty far, but there was just one of the books that I was like, I just can't handle this anymore. I think I was too attached to the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe because comics are like a shorter medium, I'm not as attached to the characters or something. I'm not really sure.
Well, I think, and it depends how deep you got into Walking Dead, but I had the same reaction because they had such momentum, right? Like he got to 100 issues and is well past it now, but you were living with these characters for that long. So you did grow attached in the way that you do a TV show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's the key is that, I mean, horror is all about manipulating your emotions as well as the atmosphere. So when you get really, really attached to a character, even if it's not super scary, you don't want to see bad things happen to them. And you're like, no, don't go in there. What are you doing?
But y'all also think that part of the scary thing about books versus showing books versus comic books is that for some reason my imagination can't run wild with comics,
right? Because you're grounded in the visuals, whereas a book, you know, an author can precisely tell you the horrifying thing, but you're not seeing it. You're only seeing it in your head, which is so much worse than
so
even
worse.
The best description is going to be.
Yeah, and they can drag it out a little bit. It's hard to do in a comic to be like, and the door creaked. It's just a bunch of black panels. Like, it's really hard to draw that out.
That's an interesting thing that I had to learn in Hexlight, because I'd written a bunch of comics, but I had never written a horror comic or a straightforward horror comic.
You're like, can we just have fog come out of this page? How do we do that?
I want to try something new.
One of those multimedia things.
Do a sound effects tape that goes with it.
Hey, oh my God. God, you remember those books when you were little and you pressed the buttons to make the sound happen? Can we do that for horror comics?
But there is a way to sort of control the pacing of the reading of the story. And pacing, obviously, is really important in horror. And I found that the thing that worked best for Hex Wives, anyway, because it's not, despite all the violence in the beginning, it's not a gory book. It becomes about a feeling of unease or uncanny. And and the way we sort of got to that was to show everything as being very normal.
Yeah.
And it takes place in a suburban, an American suburb.
Ben, do you have a recommendation for someone who's never read a horror comic? Besides, I mean, Hex Wives, obviously. They should buy 15 copies.
Exactly. But on Halloween.
Yes.
And read it on Halloween.
Yes.
What
in
better
a bathroom,
way?
In front of the mirror.
Dressed as a witch.
Saying Bloody Mary over and over again.
And one of the three of us will show up.
That's actually what happens.
Oh, my God. No, yeah, if you eat a snack in your bathroom.
Then I show up.
And you're covered in
a book in your bathroom.
And you're covered in cat hair.
Pooping, just reading books in their bathroom.
Oh, my God.
She's like, I thought you called me.
That's my nightmare. I walk in. I'm like, why are you reading that book in the bathroom? And I have to live here now.
Right.
Mallory's nightmare Halloween special is just seeing people reading their books in the bathroom.
The haunted house you put on for the neighborhood kids. It's, like, it's more gross than haunted.
It's just Alan reading on the toilet.
I love you, Alan.
So where do, like, for someone who's like, I've never read a horror comic, where do they start? What do you think are, like, good starters? I think with, like, you know, we talked about Lock and Key.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff we mentioned are good jumping on points. I think, like, Lock and Key, or there were a couple others that we mentioned, because they're finite stories. Mm-hmm. Like, Lock and Key was a series of miniseries, and I think maybe just five, something like that.
Six books. Yeah. I mean, there's a few offshoots, but...
Right, but you can read it in an afternoon or a weekend or something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think if you want sort of the classic horror stuff, the stuff that Bria was mentioning, Creepy and Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror is great, and it's like the roots of horror comics, which really also informed so much of sort of like schlocky 60s and 70s and 80s TV and movie horror. So worth checking that out. Current books, there's a book called Gideon Falls that is out. Have you checked this out yet?
No.
I feel like I have it somewhere.
We get a lot of books in the mail.
It's Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, that guy.
I think it's the only non-superhero thing he's doing right now. And it's really great and creepy, and getting into it, you don't even know what it's about, which is how I recommend going into it.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah. And I do...
Jeff did Underwater Welder, which I loved.
Yes.
And also Sweet Tooth. Is actually kind of horror.
Yeah, for sure.
But
Underwater Welder sounds great, because I just imagine it's just like exactly as you would imagine. It's a guy who gets... He's like a merman, and he goes to work every day.
It's much creepier than that, actually. It's really kind of spooky.
A lot of Lemire stuff.
I don't know.
And he's been around, kicking around for like 10 years. And I think he did a great Swamp Thing run also.
Oh, yes. He does. Actually, I have it in my house.
I love Swamp Thing.
A lot of his stuff is horror or horror adjacent, and a good story well told.
He lives in the horror neighborhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other one I would recommend, which is a series that is done, and if you like witch stuff, I devoured this. Terry Moore's Rachel Rising.
Mm. Oh, you know what? That one I do have. My friend Tim Vargulish, who is also a comic writer, loves that series.
Great.
And
really good.
I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, really good. Really, like, witches, the thing I learned during Hexwives. And part of the reason I was interested in doing something with witches, other than the loaded metaphor of it, is that, like, witches, there's no Frankenstein. There's no sort of urtext for witches. So you just grab anything that's out there that are the tropes of the thing. And, you know, while I'm telling this story about witches, Rachel Rising is telling a very different story about witches, and both work.
The point is, witches are cool as fuck.
Are you getting a ton of questions about just sort of like the relevance of them in this moment? I just wonder if like in the political landscape we have going right now, I feel like maybe that's what people want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's something about powerful women who are threatening to men who are the establishment. Like, now is the time to put on your crucible play.
Listen, you 10th grader in high school, it's time to put on the crucible.
It's time to shine.
I taught the crucible. I used to teach high school, and I taught the crucible. And first of all, I taught it in California, and I'm from New England. So it was very
hard. Hold on, where are you from?
I'm from Boston.
Oh, yeah. Actually Boston?
Newton.
I'm from Haverhill.
So you know.
Yeah, I know. I know the jam.
What do you know? What's happening?
You know what it's like to live here.
Should I leave you guys alone?
Yeah. No, it's just like there's some. It's very different when you grow up in and around that area, especially when Bria's eating a chip at me. When you grow up around Salem and Danvers, yeah. It's just like you get almost more witch education than most people do because
it's true.
Like, you literally live there, and you just like go to the witch museum and you read the crucible and you're like. It's just
the crucible
thing.
Is very immediate when you're living there.
So you can send your thoughts on horror comics or New England or chips to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. And before we solve a reader problem, we're going to take a quick break.
The secret is out. I, Open Mike Eagle, officially had a wrestling match. And on the next Tyson Fights, I'm talking all about it. From the rap battles that got it started.
Open Mike. You ain't ready.
Oh, really?
You cold like some spaghetti.
And to how I hurt myself in ways I didn't know I could. That day and the day before,
I got so many texts from people who really care about me who were like, please don't break your neck. The only place you can get the full story is on the newest episode of Tights and Fights. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
So now it's time to solve a bookish problem for one of our listeners. Paul at PDubs on Twitter asks, how does one tackle the pile of shame, the stack of books purchased with every intention of reading when it has now grown to monstrous size? Bria, what should Paul do?
By the way, it's P_Dubs.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that there's another P-Dubs out there that's like, what are you talking about?
I tackle my TBR list immediately.
Because he also listens to the podcast.
We have the P-Dub market cornered.
Like, I didn't send you that question. I sent you a snack question.
Always send snack questions.
Pile of shame. Here's the thing. You know what I'm going to say. I feel like I answer these kind of in the same way, which is that you need to pick up that book. And you need to think about that book and you're like, and be truthful with yourself. Am I really going to read that book? It's okay if you're not going to read it. No one's judging you.
You go in the bathroom and you say Bloody Mary three times. Bloody Mary appears.
you turn around and you
say, Mary, am I going to really read this book? And she'll give you an honest answer.
Because that book could have a much nicer place to live. That place could be your friend's house. It could be a little free library. It could be the garbage.
That's right.
It could be the garbage. This is like the sunk cost fallacy thing where, like, just because you bought something, it doesn't make it worth more. You know, like it's that thing where people are like that. Do you know this thing? I've probably talked about it on the show before, but where you're like, I'm literally holding a jar of nuts. This jar of nuts on the shelf, I'm like, is only worth $5. But at home, I'm like,
but now
this
that
is
it's
definitely
a birthday
worth like
present.
$10. Like, I'm not going to give
that's
it away
your,
for
that's
less
your
than
birthday 10. Birthday jar of nuts. So it's
I go
extra
through this
special.
When I'm selling clothes.
Oh yeah.
You know when you're like, I paid $50 for those jeans, and then they're like, here's three, and I'm like, they're worth
now,
so much more. But really, because
now they have
three.
They've had Bria Grant's button them.
They've
you
had
can
my
sell
button
them on
them.
eBay.
But you haven't worn them in 3 years, so they're really worth nothing to you.
They're worth zero. The fact that you're getting three is amazing.
Right. Exactly.
You actually made money on something you're not using. Yeah. So just going to sell those books.
That's smart.
Buy some Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Or whatever. A jar of nuts.
Or a $10 jar of nuts. These taste like matcha. I mean, so like you
really?
Have like so many options. I just think that like you have to be really ruthless when it comes to this stuff. And I'm speaking to myself as well because I have trouble with this with certain things. But you got to be ruthless and get rid of that stuff. What do y'all think?
Ben, what should Paul do?
I'm going to tell you a little story about young Ben Blacker.
Please.
Who worked at a bookstore.
Was killed in an avalanche.
Sure.
Books.
I'm glad you asked. This was in the Boston area.
Oh?
It was called New England Mobile Book Fair.
Oh my God, I remember that.
Did you go there?
Yeah.
This was a huge, it was a great bookstore. It was a huge warehouse filled with
so
books.
It's so weird having a New England person on the show. This is great.
I want to talk about them for a second because I think book lovers will appreciate this place.
Yeah.
Because it was not for the casual reader.
Is it still around?
They closed only recently, and I may be part of the reason why, which I'll get to in a moment. But this is a huge warehouse, thousands and thousands of books. And when it first opened in the 50s, it was not open to the public. It was a wholesaler for, like, schools. And then eventually they opened for the public, but they never got computerized inventory. And the books were arranged not by author, but by publisher, and then by title. Alphabetic by
that's
title.
Some serious book nerd.
So,
wow.
Yes. So the only way to find anything was to find someone who worked there and say, who's the publisher of this book?
Or go there with me.
Right.
But did you get really good at knowing publishers?
So we knew the publishers. We knew, you know, we knew what the Random House books looked like because they all kind of had the same trade
dress. I
bet
I could hold up the logos, flashcards, and you would know.
Who made this decision? They were like, we gotta do it by publisher. People are gonna love it.
It was because it was a wholesaler.
Yeah,
it was industry only, so it made sense. This was during the 90s when publishers were getting, like, the smaller publishers were getting eaten by the bigger ones. So there'd be, like, days when we would just spend the afternoon moving a shelf to another set of shelves. Like, we should have just left it there under the old name because that's still what it is in these big tomes that tell what the publishers are.
Yeah.
But I worked there with a friend of mine on and off for probably like 5 years, and we stole so many books.
I have, good thing they're closed. The book police are coming for Ben.
That's why I feel okay saying it now.
Ben made sure that they got closed
down. I've been
down.
Getting the New York Times book review since 1998 when I worked there. I've been getting it and reading it regularly since then. It's the way I discover new books. So I would read the book review and I'd be like, well, these three books sound great. Let's go get them.
Oh, my God.
There's some detective out there with like a wall full of books stolen and like different book
putting
reviews.
And like strings going from thing. Like, and it has like Thrilling Adventure Hour. And he's like, maybe it's related. And it's like
fit?
Your podcast. Like he isn't
these
all trying
three
to fit
books
it in.
Were stolen
he,
this
he can't
week.
Figure out where the like the crossover is.
I will say I never took the big art books. She did. I never did.
Those are expensive.
I mean, so...
So to bring it back to Paul, I found myself moving three times, twice cross country with like 200 books to read. These were not books I had read. These were books I wanted to read.
Amazing.
And at a certain point when my wife and I moved into our now house, I was like, I gotta get rid of some of these books.
Mm-hmm. I like that you get rid of them when you're already in the house, when you're in the process of moving.
Certainly not.
Like now that I've got them all here,
I realize I have no place to put them. So it is exactly like I had to do exactly what you said. And as I'm reading the book review, I'm like, oh, here's three more books I want to read. So it's constantly being added to. And I had to say, which one of these am I actually going to read? What am I? I'm lucky if I get to like 60 books a year. Like that's a good year for me.
Yeah.
And so realistically, of these 200, with the constantly adding books, there's no shame in getting rid of 150 of these books.
No, really, there's not.
Yeah, and it took doing that, and now I still have a handful of these books that have been traveling with me for 20 years, which I do want to get to someday. And a couple of them I read as homework for Hex Wives, which was
great.
That's
amazing. That book is like, finally.
Right?
I've waited so long.
I opened it and there was a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I know.
But also like a poof of dust.
Oh, yeah.
Not opened in 20 years.
I realized I was never happier than when a book got water damage or something.
Oh, he was like, thank God.
Great, that's off the list.
Someone robs your house and you're like jumping up and down, your wife is like, what's going on? Why are you happy?
But as of last year, I went to Kindle, and so like I barely look at those physical books anymore. And I'm sure there are a bunch I will get to eventually. But even now, when I have 10 books on the Kindle, I'm like, am I really gonna read this one? No, especially because I get it from the library, which is the best.
Yeah, it's hard when you have the physical books because at the library there's a time clock, there's a ticking clock. So you're just like, well, I better read this one because this book's not going anywhere. It's just holding
up. Do you read on a Kindle?
Kindle.
You know the trick, right?
And library. Yeah, you put it on airplane mode. But then sometimes there's ones I can't get that I want.
Yeah.
So then it's like on my library queue and I have them on my
right?
Check them out. But I'm still trying to finish the ones so I have it on airplane mode.
Through.
And I'm like, I gotta finish this so I can get this other one that I already downloaded. Yeah,
I did that two nights ago when I started a new book, and my wife was like, well, because we share, you have the Kindle sharing thing, so we see each other's books. She's like, well, we could just switch because mine's online and yours is online. I feel bad about
like
doing that.
That's like the bookish equivalent of like the Lady and the Tramp scene.
Yeah.
It's the most romantic thing she's ever offered.
I would actually say you've been gaming the system for 20 years, though. If you were stealing books from the New England.
We should have been on all the time and give up some hot book hacks.
I just
a lot of book hacks. Yeah, get a job at a place with no computerized inventory and then rob them.
And then get a big pockets on your pants.
Exactly. Oh, are you kidding? We just parked in the parking
lot.
Get
some JNCO jeans.
Oh, my God.
Put the books in there.
It's shameful. I'm not proud of it.
All right, Mallory, what do you say to P-dubs?
So I have this weird problem too, which is why you know that when I buy books, I shelve them in my greater library. I don't have a TBR because I have this weird thing where if I like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I want to read this like five books, and I'll put them in a stack and forget about them.
Yes.
And I just can't. Once I it's like this weird thing where if I see something over and over again, I just it blends into the landscape. I'm like a dinosaur. If it's not moving, I can't see it. So eventually, like, I just accept that pile is there and I won't see it. So what I think Paul should do is just take his entire TBR and reshelve it. Just start all over. So if by
which
now,
is actually great. Shut up. Let me interrupt. I know it's your podcast.
But Ben, like, grabs my mic even though he has his own. He's talking to both of them.
But that it feels like going shopping in your own house when you do that.
Oh God, yeah. It's my favorite thing. I feel like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. It's like it really is the best thing ever. It's like looking into a full fridge of food. So like I feel like when your TBR is so tall, intimidating, and guilt-inducing, it's not that just that you're not noticing it. Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's a shame pile.
Yeah.
And every time you
look
at it.
That's what he called it. He called it a pile of shame, not a TBR, which is very funny.
Yeah, you should just put it all away and pick out one book that you want to read, maybe two, to keep the teensy pile going for a while. It's sad. A stack of books should never be a stack of shame.
No.
Like, I can't. That makes me sad. So
also, I think, and maybe you have talked about this in the past, but when you finish a book, you don't always want to read something that's sitting in the pile to your right.
No.
You want to read what you feel like reading.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I can never predict.
Right.
Ever. I have this shameful thing where, so Alan and I like to recommend books to each other, but whenever I can never predict what I'm going to read. So poor Alan has read like a million books I've told him to read. And I've read like five. We've been living together for over a year now. I feel so bad. So we figured out a way to game the system, and he picked a bunch of books that he would like me to read and made a shelf. So it's like tricking myself. I'm like, ooh, look, a shelf, and I can pick out whatever I want. So I feel like you need to... It's like, you know, when you were trying to work out and you're like, oh, if I want to start, I can't run 5 miles. But if you're like, I can run a block.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, maybe tomorrow I'll run 2 blocks.
Yeah.
Just pick out one book and leave it there for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it doesn't feel like there's no guilt. There's no pressure. You're like, I could do one book. If you like take out a giant stack, you're like, I can't do that.
Let's all name things that you should be ashamed to have in a pile of your house, in your house.
Fingernails.
Okay, great. That's a good one. I was going to say coffee cups full of like mold and coffee. Sean's
not me.
I know it's not you.
Just...
Coffee cups full of mold and coffee.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Ben, what's something you should be ashamed of?
Live animals.
Live animals in a pile. Yes,
oh,
these are bad things.
That's very embarrassing.
You should be ashamed of these. Mallory, how many piles of animals do you have at your house?
In the winter, they all the cats like to sleep together. It's very hard.
It's a shame pile.
It's a shame pile of cats. How am I going to get to all these cats?
Exactly.
Mm. Other people's underwear that you stole from their houses.
Oh my God, that's what
shameful.
We did for Christmas
Don't
last
do that.
Year. On our Christmas tree, Alan has this thing where... So we combined our weird Christmas traditions, and my Christmas tradition, because I'm a heathen, is I make a tree out of books. Okay. And Alan's Christmas tradition was he made a tree out of porn ornaments.
Great.
Pornaments.
Sure.
So we put the pornaments on the book tree, and then people brought their clean underwear and hung it on the tree.
This sounds horrifying.
I was saying stolen underwear. Illegally stolen underwear.
Oh, no.
That's something you should be ashamed about.
Yes, definitely. You never know where they've been.
Those are all good
Even
things.
If you do know, you should be ashamed.
Yeah, if you stole them, you should be ashamed.
Yeah. So you don't want a book, a pile of books to be in the same category as a bunch of fingernails and underwear. Paul.
Fingernails is so gross.
It's really gross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I've known too many. Have you ever lived with someone who's like, I'm going to clip my fingernails and then leave it in the bathroom?
Certainly not.
I didn't live with them for very long.
Yeah.
No,
I know this.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Paul, I hope we helped you out. So you can always, if you want us to solve your reader problem, you can always send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank Danielle and Kathy, who run our Facebook group, and Christy and Rachel, who moderate our Goodreads page. Remember that you can buy Reading Glasses tote bags and shirts and bookmarks in the Maximum Fun store. Link in the show notes. Bria is still eating snacks off in the corner. Ben, where can we find you online? Where can we buy Hexwives?
Buy Hexwives on Halloween from your local comic book shop. They need your business. It's a dying industry.
Help them.
Help them out.
There's a Ben out there who's been stealing their comics, and they're going to go under.
For sure. But also, if you read digitally, you can get it on Comixology. You can order it and subscribe to it, so you get every issue. Meantime, follow me on Twitter, @BenBlacker. It's my name. It's also my Halloween name.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. That's not fair.
So if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It's really great for us and helps us reach more readers. We will read your 5-star reviews on the show. And now we're past 500 and we're going for 600. We're going to do something exciting when we hit 600.
But we're going to also do a live stream because we got 500. We're going to do a live stream of our show. So we've already announced that date, but while we're recording this, we don't know yet.
Yes, we haven't decided. You can find us on Twitter at Reading G Podcast, on Instagram at Reading Glasses Podcast, and you can always follow along on our bookish adventures using the general hashtag Reading Glasses Podcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks for reading.
I know it's not thematically in tune with my new job and all, but I find it effective. Build a man a fire, and he's warm for a day, I say. But set a man on fire, and he's warm for the rest of his life. Tao of Pratchett. I live by it. That was by Jim Butcher in the book Cold Days.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.